All right, the 2020 baseball season continues. The story continues. We've got Jordan Lyles on the hill for Texas tonight. 29 years old, signed a $15 million two-year deal with the Rangers. His 247th Major League game, 144th Major League start in San Francisco, 1-2 with a 7.71 earned run average, 43-60 lifetime. Last year, second half of the season with Milwaukee, 7-1 with a 2.45 earned run average. Career whip of 1.43, so it can put some people on base. Home runs, not dramatic. 911 innings pitched, 122 home runs, not the end of the world. 2020, one relief appearance and two solid innings, only giving up a walk. Lefties last year, 13 homers against them. Righties, 12. Righties hit 220 against them. And OPS of 384, lefties 555 against the Giants in 2019. Had a good start, six innings, four hits of no-run ball. And first pitch, slug 676 against them, so get ready to hit. And of the 25 homers last year, 15 are solos. Looks vulnerable the second time through, first time through average. Third time through, I'll see you later. They'll get him out of there for that. So that is Jordan Lyles tonight. Drew Smyly, we throw out the record books on him. He had a terrible year last year, tremendous amount of home runs, but so far for the Giants, 4 1/3, 4 hits, a run, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts, and he has looked very good, and he is a legitimate starting pitcher. So that is the matchup for tonight. Let's bring in Adam Copeland at Adam Cope, at Adam Copes, right? Where are you on Twitter? Did I get it right?
Yeah, you got it right, Marty. You gave the most comprehensive Jordan Lyles breakdown I think I've ever heard anyone give. You went whip, you went career wins, you went second half last year in Milwaukee. I was like, this is the most Jordan Lyles information I've ever gotten.
You need it. We need that. And Smyly, I threw out the record books on Smyly. It didn't matter.
Yeah, you didn't give us anything on Smyly. Everything on Lyles today. That's what it's
about.
I will
tell you this, since we're going to finish up Jordan Lyles' belt, 4-for-13. Crawford, 4-for-16. Duggar, 1-for-3. Flores, 1-for-3. Longoria, 2-for-10. Sandoval, 3-for-11. Solano, 0-for-3. So not much damage against this guy, although in San Francisco they have knocked them around. Impressed with the Texas Rangers at all, Adam Copeland?
I was more excited about them when they had Corey Kluber. I know he's dealing with the shoulder injury, but they came in with an interesting kind of pitching rotation, and I thought it was intriguing that the Giants were going to have to see him. Mike Minor, who they saw. Lance Lynn, who's around, and then Corey Kluber, but now he's dealing with the injury. So, you know, they moved Nomar Mazara. That was a big power piece in the middle of their lineup. So they're not the same Texas Rangers we saw a couple years ago. I remember Joey Gallo came in and hit a couple home runs, I think, when they came to San Francisco maybe 2 years ago, Marty. But, they don't blow me away or anything, but I'm impressed with what the Giants have done. They're, at the very least, they're interesting. The offense is hitting. They're exciting to watch.
Let's talk a little bit about what's up in baseball. And Raf and I were just talking about this before this segment started. Adam Copeland with us, a star of the leadoff show on KMBR, and does a great job filling in at so many other spots. Do you think baseball would Manfred used the phrase today, we're not quitters, and he sort of put it back on the players to tighten up what they do and not be going to casinos or clubs or anything else, and I'm not so sure he understands what the road is like for these guys to be on the road for 10 days and have to be sequestered in a hotel. So here's my point. If baseball shut it down, is that a signal to the country, well, we've been defeated by COVID, coronavirus, and we can't make it? Is it something that baseball must resist and fight through to the very last second?
I think defeated is probably the wrong word. I think people who would disagree with shutting it down would look at it and say baseball is maybe soft or that this is not as serious as they're making it out to be. But the fact of the matter is that they're not, in some of these places, they're not abiding by even the local rules, right? Like I read something that if you come in contact with someone and you live in Florida or in Miami area and you go back to Miami, if you came in contact with somebody that had COVID-19, you were supposed to quarantine for 14 days. Now the Marlins won't have done that by the time they travel back to Miami. Like they'll be doing things that local health officials are concerned about is what I've been reading. So, Is it necessary, or are they quitters if they shut it down? I think quitting is – I don't know if Manfred's using the right terminology there. I think baseball would look bad because I think they didn't go about it the right way from the get-go, especially when you see that things like Major League Soccer and the NBA are doing it right with the bubble where they aren't having positive tests.
Well, when he uses the word quitter, he's setting up something. He's saying the owners, we're not quitters. But the players may be quitters if they cause us to shut this down because they got the virus. So here we are with the whole labor thing again. I figured that in part of the interpretation. But to be the symbol to the country that, well, we're not going to quit, I don't know. There's just something to it to me that it sounded more that more of like a challenge to everybody. I don't know. That's just how I took it.
It's a little slimy almost. It's putting the onus on the players, like you said. Yeah, and it's making the players be as though, oh, so we're quitters if we decide not to play this thing. Well, the owners aren't the ones who are on the road. The owners aren't the ones who are having to play these baseball games and come in contact with all these other players on other teams and then go home and hope that their families are safe, in addition to trying to keep their teammates safe. So you saw what the Dodgers did, where a bunch of the veterans stepped up and said, you know, we've got to take this more serious, and the hope would be that other teams do it, but then you're also seeing veteran players like Lorenzo Cain say, this isn't for me, and I wouldn't be surprised if more players decide this just isn't safe enough to continue doing.
Gabe Kapler had quite a week. The team had quite a week, and I know you've been all over it on the radio as well. I kind of enjoyed it. I think forgetting about the gaffe of trying to take Rodgers out and that whole thing with the coaching staff, you know, running around sort of wildly in the dugout and not knowing exactly what to do. I'll forget about that. I think it's going to happen with a lot of inexperienced people. But I thought Giants baseball this week, even though they got walloped on Tuesday night, Samardzija gave up a couple of home runs. We had the debacle on Thursday night with the extra inning. But the way the games were played and the win on Sunday and the win last night, I thought it was a good week of Giants baseball.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. The Yastrzemski walk-off, which was a two-home run game, they had four home runs in the ball game. It was a big come from behind. And like you said, even the extra inning game, where I know everybody's upset about that, myself included, just because I don't like it. And then it ended poorly for the Giants the first time they had to go through it with the new extra inning style. But even that game was a come from behind. So at the very least, like I said, they've been interesting, and they've been hitting. And Donovan Solano, 10 RBIs through, what is it now, 8 games? And I don't even think he's played in every one of those games. He's got a .450 batting average. Mike Yastrzemski, I saw, if you're into the wins above replacement, he's got a higher WAR through 8 games than Mookie Betts does, which is fun. So, like I said, they've been interesting. They've been surprising. And say what you want about how they've used the pitching staff, but the offense has been there. And late in the game, they've gotten outs when they needed to, it seems like.
Yeah, they have, and he's platooned, and he's pinch hit, and he's done all sorts of things, and he's proactive. There's no doubt about it, and he's running a little bit more than Bruce Bochy ever did. I noticed that this week, that he's putting people in motion a little bit more. DeBond did not have a good week. He's gotten a couple of hits, and he hit a ball hard last night, but he looks very lackadaisical to me in the field. Almost like, hey, you know, I've been in the big leagues 15 years. I can get this done. He's to me, he doesn't look very disciplined right now. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, he had a pretty good transition yesterday at second base, or at shortstop coming across the bag. I thought where I think the runner was safe on the double play at attempt at first base, but he kind of showed off his arm, and I went, oh, wow, that's a big league arm, and it looked pretty good. But I'm with you where he maybe came in looking a little bit comfortable. And like we talked about last week, he's being asked to play a lot of different positions, but he looks like he's a little bit overmatched. Like he's just not quite there, or not quite in the same spot that he was last season, I think, at the end of the year. Like, don't you agree? Like,
yes.
I think he just looks a little weaker than he was last year. And I think maybe if the Giants had more depth at that position, and maybe now that Longoria's back, they do, maybe we'd see him go back to Sacramento. I don't know, but, I'm interested to see what they do with the rosters, too. Like, if they decide to keep the rosters at 30 or 28 just because of what's going on around the league, I wouldn't be surprised about that.
So the 2 weeks, let's see, where are we? 2 weeks would be what, next Thursday? Would
that next be? Week, yeah.
Next week when they have to cut down to 28 at that point. Sam Coonrod on the IL or whatever they want to call it. That's the first pitcher. Major League history – never had a start of a season with eight games where a starting pitcher, no starting pitcher completed five innings. So, all right, we've never had a season like this either, which is kind of crazy. But at some point, and maybe he's ready to turn him loose a little bit, at some point he's got to let him try to get in six innings at some point.
Well, I think it's about pitch count, right? Like, I think Johnny Cueto, had he not gone 87 pitches through four innings, he might have let him stretch out a little bit. But I think with certain guys, it's about pitch count. So I really do think, like, Johnny Cueto is going to have the longest leash just based on track record and based on acumen and what he's done for his career. And maybe Jeff Samardzija, too, if he can prove that he can get outs without, you know, going 7-8 pitches on every hitter or having guys get a bunch of home runs, then he might get a longer leash too, just based on his history. But I mean, who else do you think, Marty, could be like Logan Webb yesterday? Didn't have the control. I don't know who else yet he's ready to give a leash to.
Yeah, I think Cueto for sure. But I think the pitch count did get him eventually. Webb has not shown me, even though the numbers are good for Webb, his command has not been
just, yeah.
Not been
yeah.
good. Samardzija, a couple of home runs, could probably get him a little deeper into it. Gausman did not look good to me. I thought it was all over the place. Gausman was saved, I think, by the changeup. Webb was saved by the changeup. So we got a lot of that going on. So we'll see. But Smiley tonight, I would hope four strong, and then the parade of the bullpen after that. But I think that's what I would think tonight. Adam, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We lost one of the veterans in Northern California baseball man, John McNamara, passed away. He was a manager of the Red Sox in 1986. He managed the A's, believe it or not. Charlie Finley hired him in 1970, I believe, 69 or 70. We're going to talk about that with Adam and more when we come back right after this. All right, nice to be back with you. Adam Copeland joins us. Adam, baseball lost John McNamara this week, and I bring it up because he's a Sacramento guy. He managed the A's in 1969 to 70, the Padres 74 to 77, the Reds 79-82. He was with the Angels as a manager, the Red Sox, Cleveland. Boy, that's a lot of managing for one man. And he's, I guess, known in 86 for being part of that Red Sox team that lost to the Mets.
Yeah, he won Manager of the Year that year in the American League, and he was a lifer, right? I mean, you don't get, what was it, six different teams he managed, you named them already? So if he managed six different teams for a number of years like that.
Boy, as I go through it, I didn't realize there was that many. I thought maybe I was reading what he did as a coach. But Cleveland Indians, Red Sox, Angels, Reds, Padres, and the Oakland A's. And he did coach with the Giants from 71 to 73, under Charlie Fox at that point. But Raff went back in the archives and came up with, it's only 3 to 4 minutes, but I think it's a very interesting conversation that I had with John McNamara of how he got the job to manage the A's. So, Raff, let's hear that, and then Adam and I can chat about it after.
Hello, fans. This is Marty Lurie. Join me as we celebrate a century of Athletics baseball. When the Athletics came west from Kansas City in 1968, Hank Bauer, the former Marine, managed the ball club. Owner Charlie Finley changed managers during the 1969 season, promoting the popular John McNamara with only 13 games to go in the year. John McNamara tells us how he got the word from Charles O. Finley.
Well, this is an interesting story, Marty, that I got a call one morning, and we happened to be in Anaheim in Disney playing the Angels. And he called me up and told me that Joe DiMaggio, who was a hitting coach, was going to meet me in the lobby at 10 o'clock in the morning. And he said, you and Joe go to Disneyland. I'm flying out to replace you with Hank Bauer for Hank Bauer, and I want you to get lost for the day. So Mr. DiMaggio, who is a very good friend of mine, he and I went over to Disneyland and walked and rode the only ride we took was the Pirates of the Caribbean, and we had lunch, and he told me to show up at the ballpark at 6 o'clock that night. And which we did.
Great story. What about your first game as manager of the Athletics? Do you remember it?
I surely do. The kid pitching now, Clyde Wright, was the pitcher. He threw a no-hitter against us. First game that I managed the major leagues.
What a thrill, getting to the big leagues. You get no hit in your first game. What did you think after that?
Well, you know, oh, my God, you know, what have I got myself into now? But we came back, and we got beat Saturday night, too, and then things started to gel, and we won on Sunday, and I believe that our record at the end of the year was 8-5, and then 70, we had an outstanding year for that young ball club.
John, you had Raleigh Fingers on that team. Tell me about Raleigh, what his role was in those days.
Well, Raleigh was my opening night pitcher in Birmingham in 67, and he got hit right in the mouth with a line drive, knocked his teeth out, and he was out for a couple of months, but he came back, and in fact, Bill Posdell, God bless his soul, was my mentor and my pitching coach, and we decided to make a reliever out of Raleigh, and that's where he started in 1970 in the bullpen.
John, great stories. I really appreciate it. Great memories of athletics history. John McNamara, thanks so much.
Well, Marty, I'll forget two of the three things I go to the store for, but these are embedded deep in my mind, and they're good.
The Athletics finished second in the West to the Minnesota Twins in 1969 by 9 games. Blue Moon Odom, having perhaps his finest season, led the staff with a 15-6 mark. 25-year-old Sal Bando hit 31 homers, and 23-year-old Reggie Jackson hit 47. Somehow, everyone knew what was in store for this young team. This is Marty Lurie. Join me again as we look at another chapter in athletics history.
So, Adam, I did that in year 2000, believe it or not. 2000, I think, or 2001, somewhere in that range. But that was John McNamara. How about that story?
Well, that was a pretty cool conversation because back in the – I mean, like Charlie Finley, when they moved the A's out here from Kansas City, I think at one point he even brought in John Miller, right? Wasn't that John Miller's first broadcasting job as a real young guy? I think John McNamara must have been in his late 30s at that point, right?
It was a young hire, right? Yeah, I have to ask John about that. He must have known John McNamara well. But, yeah, what a story. And that's you had to go to Disneyland with Joe DiMaggio, and they rode the Pirates of the Caribbean. How about that?
You ever got on that ride, Marty? Is that a ride you like?
Absolutely, I have. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I like that one. I'll be that. You go over to New Orleans Square, get yourself some clam chowder, and go on to the Pirates of the Caribbean. That's a weekend right there.
Very good. Well, I'm glad that Raf can go back, and I did so many of these, and I did one every day. I think it was year 2000 or 2001, something like that. So I'm glad to be able to do that. It's fun to do it. Boy, you know, looking at baseball, the first week of baseball, and just the idea of being at the ballpark with John and Dave and Mike and Dwayne, there's just something very natural about it. But on the other hand, there's nobody there except you and me, the cutouts. Have you seen us?
I saw us. They had us next to each other. I don't know what they did with your – they kind of cut you off a little bit, Marty. It didn't fit all your body inside your cutout. Did you see that? Like you sort of got left off with the shoulders there.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did see that. And I must say, when I saw it, I said, all right, what happened?
You know, there's moments when I'm watching on TV and I don't really think about it. You know, where it just kind of there's it's because I don't really pay much attention, I guess, to the fans unless you got Marlins man back there anyway, but. It if it was completely empty, I might notice it more than just having a few things behind the hitter's eye, I guess. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but, you know, it's funny. When there's a right-handed hitter up, we're in it.
In the shot now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, because I'm wearing a yellow shirt. So you just look for the yellow shirt just above the, the right shoulder of the hitter. Just look for the yellow shirt, and you're right. You're right there next to me.
All right, Sasha's going to get a kick out of that. She's going to enjoy that. We'll keep an eye out tonight.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Just look for the yellow. I'm wearing a white hat. sort of one of my, you know, Marty Lurie hats and a yellow shirt, and I have no arms. And
That's it. Look for the guy with the yellow shirt and the no arms.
That's it. That's me. So, yeah. Honestly, I think we talked about it a little bit last week. I like the broadcasts, and a part of it is that the announcers are such Hall of Famers. But it's been okay. The sound is okay. The crowd noise is okay. Everything has been fine for me.
Well, I totally agree. And you know what I really realized that this week was, did you hear Dwayne's call? And John's call was fantastic, but Dwayne's call, even on the home run, the Mike Yastrzemski home run, it was like you'd never know that nobody was there on the walk-off home run calls. And some of these, it's like not that you'd need to fake it at all, but these things just feel so organic, even without the crowd being there. And I think Yastrzemski said that after the game, that the internal excitement doesn't change. So I think for the broadcasters, they feel it too, that once the game gets going, you're just kind of in the flow of things. And we're really spoiled with all four of them, Krupp, Kyle, John, and Dave. But it's they've done a great job.
Yeah. Well, how do you feel about baseball in general? Do you feel that the quality of play? I want to ask Dave this when I chat with him in our talk back. Quality of play, what do you think about the quality of play you're watching?
I'm missing a little bit of the starting pitching, you know, and I think that's something we've talked about for a couple of years, into the moving of the bullpen era or the piecing together games. And I can't really tell if this year is indicative of what baseball is going to be when we get a full season, say 2021 is a full 162. I can't really tell yet if this is now the future or if this is just kind of what 2020 has to be based on the sort of truncated spring training or summer camp that we had to get guys ready. What do you think? Do you think this is the model now, or is this where we're going for good?
Well, I think we're going to see more pitching, obviously, as this moves on. You have to. You can't. It's August 1st, and, you just can't run down your bullpen. You know, you can't use five innings a night out of your bullpen. So at some point, I think we're going to see some starting pitching go further. That's the challenge for me with the Giants, to see how they're going to be able to do that. But I think the power is there. I think the golf ball is there that they're hitting. And I think we're going to see some, if this thing stays okay, and that's a big if, I think it's going to be very compelling, because I'm already seeing, you know, the Giants are 4-4. All right, there's 8 games. There's 60, you know, games. There's 52 to go. This is game 9. Tomorrow will be game 10, right? So, you've played 10 out of 60 already. You know, you're 70% of your season is gone. And when it gets down to, 20 games to go or 15 games to go with so many teams in the playoff hunt, if baseball is still going and everyone is healthy and safe, I think it's going to be one heck of a race to the finish. I really do.
Well, especially if we're measuring, you know, winning percentage points rather than games. And I know we may get these, I guess we're going to get these doubleheader 7-inning games to maybe make some stuff up. But I was, even before I came on with you, Marty, I was just looking at the standings just for fun. And I saw the Marlins are leading the NL East with a 2-1 record because their win percentage is so high. And if we're going to get to a point where teams have played considerably less games, and I'm not sure exactly, and I'm sure the plan is, if we're going to continue to play, that they'll make these up. But we're going to run into a situation where the winning percentage is going to be so close and the number of games is going to be a factor.
Well, the Marlins, what if the Marlins couldn't play again? What if, you know, the COVID, you know, they had this many positive tests and they never cleared it up and they ended the season 2-1? Would they win the East?
I don't know. Could they field a team for the postseason? Would they, I don't think you could let them do that. I think it would be like qualifying number of at-bats for a batting title. Okay. You know, you have to have played a certain number of games.
Well, there are times in baseball history, and I'd have to look up the years, where teams did play a different amount of games. Now, not by 20 or 30 like this could be, but, you know, two or three because of rainouts and stuff like that. And in those days, they didn't make everything up. So we have seen that in baseball before. But as I say, if this thing goes to the end, because it's only 60 games and it looks like there's a lot of parity going on right now, I think it's going to be very interesting. But it's a big if. And the main thing is, be safe and be smart. And I just hope that they can do that.
I think there are a lot of guys who are taking it very seriously and really want to make sure that they can play. These guys want to play baseball, and I think that they want to do it and they want it to be safe. So there are always going to be guys who maybe stretch the boundaries a little bit, and I think the point is that you try to really police that and make sure the guys are in for the long haul, because you can do it, I think, maybe, if guys are really serious about it. And even then, it's going to be tough. So.
All right. Well, have a good night. Talk to you tomorrow, Adam. Thanks for the chat.
All right, Marty. We'll talk to you then.
All right. More pregame coming up right after this.